Amen. You can be seated. Hope College, how are you doing? It's a little lukewarm, but I'll take it. So I just have one quick announcement. Immersion trips. Raise your hand if you've signed up for an immersion trip. Praise the Lord for those 17 people. Immersion trips, you can still sign up, and we especially need men. If you're a man, raise your hand. Student, male student. All right, in the balcony, I see you. We need males. So if you're a guy thinking about the immersion trips, we would love for you to sign up, talk to Nancy Smith or anybody in our office, and we'd love to connect the dots for you. So I have Sean Boysen. Do y'all know Sean? Give it up for him. Sean is a junior from Holland. He went to Black River. He's a business and communications major, and he's also the president of the Prometheans, which is a dry Christian fraternity here. Which is, y'all could give it up for that, you know. Yeah! And Sean is going to read our scripture today, which is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 8.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Then life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and which has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And your fellowship is with Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Amen. Y'all give it up for Sean. Just to provide some clarity, because I'm preaching from the New Revised Standard Version, what Sean read, I think, is the NIV. I'm going to read that just again so you guys can sort of track with me. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the word of God for the people of God. You were not created to be best friends with darkness. You were not created to be best friends with darkness, for life is found in the light. It always has been. It always will be. And so stepping into Advent as we now are, near and far across the globe, Christians will be looking forward to celebrating the Christ child's birth. We call that day Christmas. Christmas, it's a day that is not to be about retail's tempting markdowns. It's not to be a day for the folly of too much food. It is not to be a day for perhaps the friction of too much family. As one songwriter put it, people need to know that Christ is Christmas. This season empowers us at minimum to relish God's power, to relish God's purposes, and to relish God's provisions. Even an enraged King Herod and the scandal of a virgin mother amid a handful of other obstacles could not stop the move of God. If you wanted to help me out, you could say amen there. The light, the text says, shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So I want you to meet this morning this brother named John. a prophet in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, also known as John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. Though respected, people thought John was a little off, like a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, like a little not there altogether. You can imagine, I'm sure, the comments that some bystanders maybe made huddled beside some nomadic water cooler talking about how John wore clothing of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. And John, for him, food was locusts and honey. That's what they might have said at the water cooler. I doubt that he became, John did, popular by telling everyone, as he often would, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. That doesn't get you to be popular sometimes. 3 months older he was than his relative Jesus. We think that they were cousins. John was the fulfilled prophetic vision that Isaiah had been given, that one day there will be this voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Repentance was the one-word soundtrack of John's life. It eventually ended in him being beheaded. And so it is in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, we see John, particularly in verse 6, after this picture that has been painted of how in the cosmic Super Bowl grudge match between Team Light and Team Dark, Light wins by a landslide. Y'all missing it now. That's another opportunity. In this grudge match between Light and Dark, Light wins by a landslide. There you go. His mandate, you ask, what was John's mandate? It's very simple. His mandate was to testify to the truth, this truth, which is the light. But somebody had to pave the way, and John was the obediently subordinate precursor. You could say that John was the lesser preamble. You could say that John was the prefaced forerunner, unashamedly pointing to Jesus, the Savior of the world. And so in recognition of that marvelous light, John deflects that the lost might comprehend, as he said later in this chapter, their need for the one who is coming after me. He wasn't putting attention on himself. He said, there's someone more powerful coming after me. Some come to bring the noise and to bring the funk, and other people come to bring the pain. However, what we need is the light. I want you to think about big cities like Las Vegas or LA or New York. They are busy, right? They are big. They are teeming with so much light, and yet darkness abounds. Even here in tiny Holland with our reliable power grids, it's easy to take light for granted because we simply flick a switch, and as long as the electric bill has been paid, then voila, we have light. Light in America is more instant than oatmeal. But with all of this talk about light, I have to say that in all fairness, you can do dirt in the dark just as easily as you can do dirt in the light. But people tend to prefer darkness for dastardly deeds, whatever those deeds may be. Crimes increase at night in the dark. Seemingly scandalous rendezvous are easier to negotiate under the clandestine cover of darkness. The dark can be scary. It can cause anxiety and scarcity to grow like weeds in your heart. I don't know about you, but when I was a little chocolatey kid growing up in Maryland, I was not down with the dark. Anybody there with me? I was not down with the dark. It wasn't as if during bedtime I somehow, you know, liquefied into inconsolable fits of gloom. Not in the Ellis household. It was not going down. We didn't do timeout, and I wasn't having a fit when it was time to go to bed. That was not happening. But I went to bed and everything, but often with an emergency flashlight. Y'all know about emergency flashlight? Y'all go to bed? Emergency, amen. Somebody in the front row. I had an emergency flashlight tucked away underneath my sheets just in case, you know, one of my little G.I. Joe dudes or my rubber WWF action figures or something unknown and uninvited decided to come alive once the lights were out and left me at a competitive disadvantage. And having the flashlight was also handy in quickly assessing if, you know, what I thought was a spider crawling on the wall was indeed a spider crawling on the wall. It helped give me perspective. But eventually, as I matured, you know, maybe put away some childish things, I started sleeping not with my emergency flashlight, but I advanced to a nightlight. And even today, at 39 years old, I'm all about that nightlight life. Nightlights are awesome. I got about 5 of them in my house. They are great because they do this great thing. They bring clarity to what is hidden or what is unseen. Light has a way of doing that. It has a way of illuminating what might otherwise cause you harm. Maybe you have been there. I mean, maybe I'm tracking down the block of your life. Maybe you've been there before. You've been stuck in some dark ditch of pain and regret. Or maybe you've been chasing significance in a world that, if you allow it, will beat you into oblivion. It will totally exacerbate your soul if you allow it. And maybe you've been in that dark space. I recognize that you and I, we are not John the Baptist, but my sentiment to you is that if you have trusted Jesus with your life, then you too have been sent by God right where you are as a witness to testify to the light. And I want you to know that you don't need to go far searching for darkness to confront, because it's all around you. Just look around you. Look your neighbor, look behind you. You can look up here. It's everywhere that you go. There's darkness right on this very campus. In that moldy basement that you sometimes go to that you know you don't need to. There's darkness in your dorm room. There's darkness on your athletic squad. There's darkness in your student organization and within the traditions that you know are ungodly, unwise, or maybe even criminal. Darkness abounds. You don't have to go far to find it, which is why Jesus decided to come down to earth from heaven to overcome that with our best efforts, like with our best shot, we simply cannot do. God has not asked you to be a sheltered or snobbish holy roller, only capable of communicating with your peers in parables. That's not what he's called you to. But as a new creation in Christ, he does want you to think, and he does want you to behave in ways that reflect the truth of the Bible. But it's impossible to do that if you don't read it. It's impossible even further for you to do that if you never humble yourself to allow it to read you. We are to be, if we are in Christ, nightlights, providing a sliver of illumination that this world will learn to recognize and to surrender to Jesus, who is the light of the world, because the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Go in peace.